Surely thank the Lord to be back at Neo Show. For each one of you that's here, we appreciate everyone. We do again want to say how we appreciate your prayers. Not only on this trip, but different times we feel we need one another's prayer, dear ones. We do. The Lord has told us to pray one for another. And so we desire your prayer this morning as I look to the Lord, and like the scriptures came to me in Matthew, and we surely desire your prayer that we'll say only the things that would be glorifying to God and edifying to us. I know that all of God's word is good. It's all good for us. And if we can keep it in mind to always have an open ear to God's word, even if it might be something that we seem to not just get a clear vision of our need for it right then, just keep it in mind. Hide the word in our heart. David said in one place, "A word I've hid in my heart, lest I might sin against thee." So his word is good for us. I want to notice some scripture in the 21st chapter of Matthew this morning and read in your hearing. I understand this to be Jesus' own word here. It's in the red letter edition and speaking in a parable. I'm reminded of the song that we had, that last song, "What a Friend We Have in Jesus." A brother can speak a kind and cheering word, and we're often comforted and lifted up and benefited by a brother's comfort, and that's good. But the balm for the heartache only Jesus can afford. He's able to help us whatever our need is. The 33rd verse in the 21st chapter of Matthew, let's read a little, said, "Hear another parable. There was a certain householder which planted a vineyard and hedged it round about and digged a wine press in it and built a tower and let it out to husbandmen and went into a far country. And when the time of the fruit drew near, he sent a servant to the husbandmen that they might receive the fruit of it. And the husbandman took his servants and beat one and killed another and stoned another. Again, he sent other servants more than the first, and they did unto them likewise. But last of all, he sent unto them his son, saying, they will reverence my son." I'm thinking about humanity in general this morning and the need that all of us have of the Lord in all of our lives in every way, physically, spiritually, and everything that touches us. We really need the Lord. I was thinking about in Hebrew it said that God, who at sundry time and in divers manners has spoken to the fathers in time past, has spoken to us now by his Son. And I'm thinking what a great price it was for God to speak to us in the manner that he had through his Son, that he spared not his only Son, but offered him up for us. And then I think how willingly as Jesus came in fulfillment of the word of God and to bring the light, immortality, and light through the gospel that we might be saved, he suffered an awful lot, and he went through many things, and he did that we might be softened to where God could speak to us in a more meaningful way, something that would reach where we were in a greater degree. But notice this chapter, it said, "But last of all, he sent unto them his Son, saying, they will reverence my Son." I want to emphasize this morning, by the help of the Lord, the need and the challenge that we have as individuals to draw nigh to God through the person of Jesus. Now, he's not here as an individual in the flesh, but he has risen and has sat down at the right hand of the majesty in the heavens, and he is the minister of the sanctuary that the Lord pitched and not man. He's the one and the only one that's able to help us this morning in our soul. But he's able to do that we stand in need. I want to read in this same book in the 17th chapter. This seems to reflect the excellency of how his ministry is. And I believe and pray, I hope and pray that it will enable us to give real attention to the word of the Lord. In the 17th chapter, let's read in Matthew, said, "And after 6 days, Jesus taketh Peter, James, and John, his brother, and bringeth them up into a high mountain apart, and was transfigured before them, and his face did shine as the sun, and his raiment was white as the light. And behold, there appeared unto them Moses and Elias, talking with him. Then answered Peter and said unto Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If thou wilt, let us make here 3 tabernacles, one for thee, and one for Moses, and one for Elias. While he yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and behold, a voice out of the cloud which said, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. And when the disciples heard it, they fell on their faces, and were sore afraid. And Jesus came and touched them and said, Arise, be not afraid. I was thinking how Jesus came to bless. Over in John in 3 and 16, 17, 18, 19, we hear there said about Jesus, said, For God so loved the world that he gave his own and begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And he went on to say, For God sent not his Son unto the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. I was thinking how it said now in relation to the first scripture we mentioned, said last of all, he sent his Son. I want to remind us, dear ones, today there are people religiously proposing to you and to us that there's an age to come and about a rapture, literally speaking, here on earth, that Jesus didn't make any mention about at all. But he said, I'm the first and the last. And the Revelation, we're reading, the Word said, I'm Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. And Jesus is the author of our faith, and dear one, he's the finisher of our faith. It'll be him that we'll meet when this life is over. I thought about it won't be Moses. Jesus said that Moses has them that preach him today, but he let them to know that Moses, if you were to believe what Moses' writings were, then you would know about me. You'd receive my word, because he spake with me. The prophets all down through spoke of Jesus and spoke of that as coming once in the end of the world to put away sin by the offering of himself. So it is to us, dear one, to give ear, give attention to the Word of God. I think particularly the words of Jesus. Now, I realize all of God's Word is inspired by the Holy Spirit and it's all profitable for doctrine. But I think now we read so many passages in the Scripture of direct prophecy of Jesus, and what a clear description it seemed to give of what he liked. You know, in Isaiah 61, it said, The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, For he has anointed me to preach good tidings to the meek, and to set at liberty those that are bound, to bind up the brokenhearted, and to give beauty for ashes, and oil of joy for the spirit of heaviness. But dear one, those things are in Jesus. His word, you know, he said, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Those things that are revealed to through the light of the gospel are in Jesus, you know. And think of the scripture over where it says that Paul in Romans letter in the first chapter and the 16th verse, he said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it's the power of God to salvation. Everyone that believed, to the Jew first and also to the Greek, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed. The apostles, their message of Jesus wasn't that we preach ourselves, but we endeavor to live as Jesus taught us to live and as the Holy Spirit directs us, but we preach Christ and Him crucified. Paul, in one place, he questioned some that were looking to favored ministers or something. He said, well, one saith, I'm a Paul, and I, Paulus, and another, Cephas. He says, was Paul crucified for you, and were you baptized in the name of whatever apostle? But he concluded, dear one, that Jesus was the one that we're all baptized in Christ. We're all baptized in one body. Seemed like I reminded of the very last scriptures in this book, and how comforting and how precious it is to realize that now is Christ risen, and dear one, he has all power. That's wonderful. Now he come and made himself of no reputation, just humbled himself and came in the likeness of man, that he might be a faithful high priest. But now, since he's accomplished that, he might read that in the last part of this chapter, and I'm just glad for that. I'm glad that as we meet the commandments that the Lord gives us through His Spirit and through the Word, that His power is unlimited. In the 28th chapter, which is the last chapter of Matthew, notice what it said, the 18th verse and down, that and Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go you therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. Now I want to refer back to a few scriptures in the 7th chapter of Matthew. I think as Jesus taught the people there, and as he teaches us, he desired that you and I would come close to him, and that we would give real earnest heed to his word and to the things that he's saying, for his words are life. He said, my words are spirit and they are life. In the 7th chapter, let's get on about the 10th verse. Well, let's start at 7th verse. Ask and it shall be given you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. Or what man is there of you, whom if a son ask bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he give him a serpent? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask him? Now notice the next few verses in particular. And I feel in my own mind that right here are some things that will touch all of our lives. That is, that it's very vital that we take in consideration what Jesus is saying. If you remember where we read there at the Mount of Transfiguration, said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. Hear ye him." And notice what he says, "Therefore, all things whatsoever you would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them likewise, for this is the law and the prophets." I was talking about that Paul, in referring to the law, he said the law was holy and just and good and righteous. There wasn't anything evil about the law. But the law was weak, and that could not do what Jesus came to do. But it pointed us to Christ, that we might through him meet and be partakers of that divine love and power and transformation that was in Christ. And said, as you would that men should do unto you. I thought about how much of our life this applies to. We're not just all here today, married, wives, some of us are. But this, dear one, I believe that Jesus is speaking this. It's not limited to any particular one. I believe even the children can grasp and get a thought out of this, you know. When we are sharing something, if we follow what Jesus is saying here, why, if we would love to have the bigger part of this, well, then we'd be exhorted to let our brother or whoever else is in consideration have that. In other words, preferring our brother before ourselves. Those things are taught and set forth in the Scriptures, that as you would. And all, therefore, whatsoever things you would that men should do you, do you even so unto them likewise. I thought how that we need the prayers, we need really the Lord to help us to do that. You know that our makeup, even after we're saved, we still have a tendency, if we're not careful, "Lord, what will be the best for me in this? How will I profit the best here? And how can I benefit from this?" But dear one, the Lord said, "As you would that men do to you, do you even so unto them likewise." I thought about sometimes we maybe have a failing in some way. I don't believe any of us is infallible. And then if we, how would we like to be dealt with? Would we like to have a little mercy and someone maybe interested enough in us to bear with us a while or overlook some of our shortcomings? Or would we just you like to be just dealt with, you might say, without mercy? I thought about the mercies of God. There's so much said about the mercy of God. Jesus, I believe, in some of the preceding chapters in this same book, where in the Sermon on the Mount, he said, "Be therefore merciful, even as your Father in heaven is merciful, forgiving one another, as God, for Christ's sake, forgiven you," teaching them to do unto others as is brought out here, "all things that you would that others do to you." I thought about the day and age that we're living in. There's so much formality and tradition and commandments of men that's being substituted for the Word of God and for the life that Jesus reflected and lived here in the earth. But, dear ones, he came to seek and to save that which was lost. I thought about his invitation to all of us. Where he said, "Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart." I think about the meekness of Christ. And, dear ones, as we put on Christ, and as we ourselves become more meek through the things that come our way, as we yield to him in a greater and a more complete sense, the more peace we're going to have. The more of the love of God and the comfort of the Holy Spirit. As we studied this morning in the Sunday school lesson, the effects of prayer You know, praying always in the Holy Spirit, the Lord wants us to be thankful for what He's done for us. He wants us to realize that we wasn't redeemed with corruptible things, the silver and gold. From our vain conversation, He wants us to realize that if we're saved today and living for Him and enjoying salvation, that it was because of the price that He paid and put within reach of our grasp that we might come to Him through the Lord Jesus. And therefore, all things, whatsoever you would that men should do unto you, do ye even so unto them. For this is the law and the prophet. One place where the Apostle Paul brings that love is the fulfilling of the law. Without love, without the spirit of Christ, we can't please God. I was thinking about Paul exhorting us to walk in the Spirit over in the 8th chapter of Romans. We might just read a little bit of those scriptures where it's speaking about walking in the Spirit there and see what it says. Twelfth verse, therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to live after the flesh, for if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the Spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Now I want to notice the scripture exhorting here us to walk in love and walk in the Spirit. I want to read in the 12th chapter of Hebrews some scripture which is characterizing a spiritual life of the church and our own experience associated in the church. In the 12th chapter of Hebrews, notice what it says. We'll read beginning about the 18th verse. If you remember that first scripture we read relating to Jesus as being the last, said, for ye are not come unto the mount that might be touched, and to that burned with fire, nor unto blackness and darkness and tempest, and the sound of a trumpet, and the voice of words, which voice they that heard entreated that the word should not be spoken to them any more. For they could not endure that which was commanded, and if so much as a beast touch the mountain, it shall be stoned or thrust through with the dark. And so terrible was the sight that Moses said, I exceedingly fear and quake. But ye are come unto Mount Zion, and unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn which are written in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect. I thought about here where it's saying, but you are not come to that mount that burned in blackness and tempest. I thought of the scripture that Brother Clifford read during the Sunday school lesson there from Kings, where there that Moses stood before the mount and the great earthquake, wind, fire, and all of the commotions that was there, but it said a still, small voice. And then I thought about how that affected a lot. Dear one, the Spirit speaketh today to our heart through the Holy Spirit, which was given as a result of Jesus' sacrifice. Over in John 7:37, where Jesus stood up there at that last day of the feast, and He said, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. And He spake this of the Spirit, it was his desire that those that had believed on him would continue in his word and be partakers of the Holy Spirit that was going to be given. I want to read a little scripture here in Isaiah 55 that relates to this thought of the spiritual blessings and hearing. You know, it said there that Elijah, he heard that still, small voice. And how the Lord wants us to get quiet before him so that we can hear his voice. His voice is not thundering out like some people might imagine in this day and time. There is a time when the speaking of God will be different to now, but so long as this time lasts, dear one, Jesus is going to be in command. His word not going to return to him void. In this 55th chapter of Isaiah, let's notice a few scriptures here. And I believe without any doubt in my mind that these promises and what's included here and our exhorting to listen real close is referring to listening at what Jesus came to bring. It said, "Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the water. And he that hath no money, come ye, buy and eat, yea, come buy wine and milk, without money and without price. Wherefore do you spend your money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfieth not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good. And let your soul delight itself in fatness. Incline your ear and come unto me." Seems like my thought here is thinking of Jesus speaking, coming last of all, or prophecy is saying now, incline your ear, hear, and your soul shall live. You notice over in Romans, the 10th chapter, it said that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. It said here, hear, and your soul shall live, and I'll make hearing your soul to live, and I will make an everlasting covenant, you even the sure mercy of David. I thought about this where it said, incline your ear and come unto me. I don't know, Jesus, you know, he used different things in nature sometime in portraying his message of thought to the soul and to the heart. And I've been reminded of little birds where it said, incline your ear. And I've noticed little birds that their food consists of worms from the earth and all oftentimes so much. I've seen them hop along, and I'm sure you have, and turn their head kind of down like this. And I'm told, and I'm not any authority on this sort of thing, but I'm told that they actually are able to detect the location of where that food's awaiting by their ear. That they have a very sensitive ear. That much I know. And then I thought about how faithful God is to give to us. If we just incline our ear, if we just open our hearts and we just say from down deep in our hearts, Lord, help me to know what you want me to do. Lord, just show me the way and I'll be glad to do it. You know, when we get in a position like that, dear one, the Lord is going to comfort our hearts. He said, we read over, I said, everyone is seeketh thine, and him that knocketh it shall be opened. But notice that hear, and your soul shall live. I thought of Jesus when he came, you know, he came, scripture referred, coming once in the end of the world. But this gospel, he said, must be preached in all the world. And then, instead of what a lot of folks are looking for, it's not going to be that way. But the coming of the Lord, you know, we're exhorted to establish our heart, be therefore patient unto the coming of the Lord, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. The Lord wants us to continue to hold fast our profession, to walk in love as Christ has loved us, and to be forgiving as we would that men do to us, or do even so to them. That may not give you exactly the same answer in the sense of what you're doing, but I was thinking how I've studied and meditated on that. Some people, and I These are your prayers. I make this statement. I'm doing maybe a little paraphrasing here, but I believe it'll be understood. I believe you'll understand it. Some people, maybe if they're really sick, doesn't maybe desire just a lot of loud company. They just would desire rather to be quiet. Maybe they'd appreciate your prayers or whatever. Now, I'm saying this to help us to be careful and prayerful, that we be led and that we don't withdraw and withhold anything that we can do to be a help, but that we seek God to direct our path. You know, it's not really in us to direct our steps. I go back to the thought of the eunuch being led toward the south there. Enlisting, praying, and submitting, God can enable us to move in the right direction. There may be a place where there is sickness, but it might not on every occasion be appropriate for us just to say, well, I'm just going over there. But if we can just seek the mind of the Lord, dear one, the Lord, he's able to help us. And he's able, I remember Brother Gordon Humphrey said so many times in his preaching, the Lord is able to help us. And he is able to help us. But to get the help we need to keep us sweet and happy in our souls and enjoy our salvation, we really need his Spirit to guide us. We need the treasure and the provider on all the words that he has spoken. So I trust the Lord to bless these few thoughts to your heart. I was just thinking about when Jesus endured all that he did, and looking forward, realizing now I'm going through all of this, but the results will be salvation will be freely given, and souls can be drawn to me and to the Father through this offering that I'm doing, and the kingdom of God can become a reality in the heart. You know, he said in one place that kingdom of God come not with observation. Some will say, here, over here, some will be over there, but he said the kingdom of God is within you. In other words, when we humble our heart and take the way of the cross and follow the Lord, we'll find that he'll comfort and lead and guide us. I pray that the Lord will bless these two, he talk to your heart. Again, I want to say how much we appreciate your prayers on our little journey that we made recently. Amen.